Welcome to the teachings of Pastor Mike Yost of the Springs Calvary Chapel in Habern, Idaho. Please join us as we study the Word of God.
Well, good morning again. Good to see all of you here. Actually, it was good to see all of you here, and then I put my glasses back on, and you guys... I'm excited to be going into this section of the Scriptures. It's always spoken to me. It's always shouted at me personally, and so if I shout today, I apologize in advance. I'll try not to. But we're in the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy while in the maritime prison, in the dungeon, on death row, awaiting execution. 2 Timothy. We're in chapter 4. We pick up there this morning. And I just would ask again, as we had done last week, if you'd all just rise for the reading of the Word. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And Father God, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, that is what we will do this morning. We will preach, we will teach, we will exhort, rebuke, convince, patiently, gently, and humbly, but fully surrendered to your will. I pray, Lord, that these words that you have spoken now in our presence, Lord, would just reverberate in our heart and bring forth that good fruit that you sent them to bring. We pray now that, Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit, would have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. That was what was spoken to me before the church as I was assembled in Joshua Springs, Calvary Chapel, Yucca Valley, California, in 2005. As Pastor Gerald Hegerman laid his hands on me, the elders laid their hands on me, and ordained me a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I would minister life and that I would preach the Word. I love it. He made it simple. I'm glad it wasn't a long to-do list, because if you know me, you know I'm not really good with to-do lists. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to those things which are ahead, to the high calling of Christ Jesus in my life. And I pray that having preached His Word now faithfully for 30 years, I can stand before you today and say that God is alive, that God inhabits His Word, that God inhabits His people, and that God is victorious, and that we can stand here today and declare that before God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I charge you, therefore. This word that Paul uses, I charge you, is really a word that contains within it the root word of being a martyr, or giving a testimony, making a declaration, and it really comes as a very strong word in the Greek that he is charging him. It's like, I adjure you. It's like you go before the court, and as you stand with one hand on the Bible and one hand in the air, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. I charge you, Timothy, that you standing before this gathering in the presence of these witnesses, these judges, that you will be held to an account for the things that you say and the things that you don't say. Just as we've been studying in the book of Ezekiel on Wednesday nights, I invite you out to the study. It's fantastic. We're having a lot of fun. But Ezekiel was supposed to be a priest. He was trained for working in the temple and doing all the rituals and ministries a priest would do. But it turned out that he found himself called into the ministry of a prophet. And a prophet is someone that just doesn't intercede between God and man. A prophet is somebody who should speak forth, preach the word of God. And in chapters 3, in verses 25 and 26, God tells Ezekiel that I'm going to make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth. Unless I tell you to say something, you're not going to say anything at all. But when I tell you to say something, you will stand up and say, thus says the Lord. You will preach the word of God. And we've been watching that go forward. And here, it's the same charge that Paul makes to Timothy. His last will and testament, his final words, preach the word. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. This is a solemn vow. This is an important commission. It's not something that's optional. And it's something that anyone who goes into ministry should hear clearly and understand fully and embrace joyfully. Just out of curiosity, by a show of hands, how many of you are in full-time ministry? Raise your hand. I'm hearing little whispers around the room. We all are. We all are. God has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light, and He set us up to be a kingdom of priests. Right? We are a holy people set apart to the purpose of going into all the world with His authority and preach and teach and make disciples in the name of and the power of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us carries this responsibility. Now, certainly it falls to Timothy as the pastor, the overseer, the shepherd of the fellowship that he is in. And certainly it would fall to any pastor that this is the fundamental job of a pastor, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would preach the word, declare the word made flesh, the word that dwelt amongst us, the word that lived a sinless life and died a death, a vicarious death in our place, that we could live eternally with Him. We are to preach Jesus Christ. That's what we've sung this morning, and this is what Paul encourages him to do, because there's going to come a judgment. Now, some people would hear that and say, oh, one of those doom and gloom, hellfire and brimstone preaching things coming up here. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And I'm here to tell you today, judgment is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, there are two judgments, okay? There's the judgment of those who are saints, those who have been called to the assembly of the chosen, God's children, those who believe on His name, those who confess Him as Lord and Savior. We go to a judgment of rewards. It's known as the Bema Seat. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote this in chapter 5. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house made without a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Hallelujah. "Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust we are well known in your consciences." In the ancient cities, in Rome, in the Roman world, as you would go into the marketplace, in the marketplace would be a place where the magistrates would assemble. And it was known as the Bema, the judgment seat. And that's where people would come and they would hear cases and they would decide if somebody is going to be acquitted or exonerated or found guilty. That's the place where the judgments were measured out. It's also the place that in contests, in participations, very much in the Greek culture, Olympic-type events, sporting events, that's where those victors, those people who had won the contest, would go to receive their reward. And there's a reward waiting for you, Christian. There's a reward waiting for me. And God knows that as we have served him faithfully, he wants to bless us, as any father wants to bless a child. And so we have that to look forward to. Yes, judgment is coming. Hallelujah. But it is important, and Paul needs to adjure, he needs to charge Timothy, he needs to make sure that he recognizes that things that he has done or are doing is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows all things. For those who have rejected Jesus Christ and think that the things that they are doing are done in a corner, done in the shadows, done in the secret of their heart, we read in the book of Revelation the other judgment. In chapter 20, at verse 11, we begin, "Then I saw a great white throne, and he who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The question I have for you is, have you made your reservations? When you get to heaven, will you be in the book of life? It's as simple as confessing Jesus as Lord, acknowledging your need for forgiveness of your sins, and calling upon him to save you and be your Lord. In fact, I'm going to encourage everyone right now. I don't know if there might be somebody in this room today who hasn't made that choice yet. And you should understand, life and death, heaven and hell are in the balance. It's as simple as praying a simple prayer, confessing your need for a Savior. If you would, join with me. We can repeat this prayer. If you're new to Christ, this is the way that you would confess your sins to God. It goes like this. Something like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know that my sin separates me from you. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. and I know that you have made the way. I believe that you died in my place. You paid the penalty for my sin. Were buried and rose on the third day as proof that I too can live forever. So I receive forgiveness of my sins and eternal life in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, yeah, praise God. And if there's anybody in this room that's prayed that prayer for the first time, please come on up after the service. I'd love to welcome you in to the family of God. And you can join in with our class that's going on right now, Core Christianity. You can learn some of the basics and what this whole Christian thing is about. For the rest of you, maybe some of you who are veterans, that prayer never wears out. It never gets old. We continually come before Jesus Christ, acknowledge our need of Him, and receive the free gift, the grace of His forgiveness. But understand that what we do before God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And Timothy is charged, therefore, to preach the Word. The Word. We just read about it at the last bit of chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is what you're supposed to do, Timothy. Preach the Word. All Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, the full counsel of God, Paul would teach. Everything from front to back, the Alpha and the Omega, the complete and entire Word of God. And in doing so, you have equipped not only yourself, but those who have heard. You have equipped them to be successful, not only in this life, but eternal life. You can use the Word, it says, for doctrine, sound teaching, for proof, reproof, correction, or teaching what is wrong, correction, helping people to see when they're in error, and for instruction in righteousness so we can go forward the way that we're supposed to. This Scripture, Old and New Testament, this is one of the hallmarks, if you will, of a Calvary Chapel church, of the Springs Calvary Chapel, of this family for sure. We teach, we preach, we believe, we obey, we live according to the blueprint that God has laid out for us, His love letter to us, the Word of God. And it's an amazing thing, the Scriptures, they're not like any other book ever out in the world. For starters, it's not just a book, it's 66 books, all piled together, written by 44 different authors, and they wrote over a time span of 1,500 years, they were on different continents, Asia, Africa, Europe. They come from different backgrounds, farmers, fishermen, priests, and kings. And yet all of them speak one message from cover to cover. That God created us, that God loves us, that God has redeemed us, and that we have a destiny awaiting us in heaven if we'll just accept that and receive Him as our God. And it's a beautiful thing, the harmony of the Scriptures. It's consistent and it's honest. It's real life. We're looking at things just like Paul right now on death row, awaiting execution, writing his letter to his son who he loves. This is, the Bible is full of honesty. It's the most read book in all of human history, bar none. Absolutely just encompassing all of human history. And it has survived relentless attacks. People have spent their lives trying to defile or in some way repute the Bible. And to this day it stands, complete and whole. It's in its entirety, the Word of God stands. These are things why we know. It is worth preaching. It is worth teaching. It's worth following. It's survived, and its influence has changed the course of time and culture. Absolutely rewritten history, if you will. And not the least of all, maybe the most important of all to me, is it has the life-changing power of the gospel. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. And it can accomplish that which God sent it forth to do. And I'm living testimony of that. So, as I was ordained, preach the Word, you betcha. I love the Word of God. I read the Word of God. I live the Word of God. And I share the Word of God every chance I get. This is one of the things I would say to you in ministry. Every chance you get, when somebody puts you in a position to speak up, what do you think about this? What do you got to say about that? You've got the Word of God. If you preach the Word of God, you can be certain that it will accomplish that which God sent it out to do. Sometimes it seems like nothing has happened, but you can be sure it's found a place in somebody's heart, and God is working those things together. Many of you give testimony to little bits and seeds and kernels of the Word that's been sprinkled into your life and sprinkled into your life until one day it sprouted and brought forth life. And this is something that Paul tells Timothy, you must be about the business of preaching the Word. It says, preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season. In season and out of season. Two season. That should be easy for a farmer or people who live in a farming community. And it should be easier for a preacher, a minister of the gospel, somebody who wants to teach the Word of God. When do you preach the Word of God? All the time, right? When it's in season, right? When it's the perfect time, when you have a ripe, you know, audience, right? The soil is good and ready and you want to plant that seed in there. That's the time to preach it. And when you have an audience that is not interested and ambiguous or even contrary to you, it's still time to preach the Word. This is what you do all the time. Preach the Word. Now, You have to be able to follow that sound pattern of words. You have to be able to help people understand their need for a Savior. It's not something that you go out and just beat people over the head with the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Even I, as a pastor and as a Christian, sometimes I get a little bit worn out by some folks. I won't say some folks here. But there are some people that it's like every single word that comes out of their mouth is a quote of Scripture. And again, I'm not even saying that's wrong. Check the Holy Spirit on that. But certainly the heart, the content of what you have to say should be in alignment with the Word of God at all times. And so we need to be in that business of sharing that in season and out of season. You know, it's interesting as we look into maybe our own lives, maybe in the culture that we live in, how it's almost we're watching the seasons change right before us. Maybe it's because I'm old. You know, they just came out with these guidelines about the coronavirus and, you know, people that are especially susceptible, the elderly, those with respiratory conditions and underlying immune systems. You know what they're defining elderly as? Anybody 60 or older. Why are you laughing, Neri? I just turned 60 in December, right? And according for the Centers of Disease Control, I'm elderly, okay? I didn't know I was elderly. I've been waiting to grow up, and all of a sudden, I missed the whole deal, right? And I'm not even sure why I'm talking about that right now, but maybe some of you will remember my point. but we are to be preaching in season and out of season. We've been watching long enough, I guess, if you've lived long enough, to see where how much easier it was to share the Word of God. That Christians were all around us. It seems like it's getting harder and harder and harder now to witness. People just, you know, it seemed like we went through a phase where people always wanted to attack you for being a Christian. And you'd say something and boy, they'd have something to come back. It's almost gotten to the point where they just like, They don't even give you the time of day anymore. Oh, stupid Christian, and brush you aside. And there's hardly even an argument made out in social media anymore. It's as if we have become irrelevant. We are more relevant today than we have ever been before. When we look at the situation, the times that we're living in, it is important that we stand up and continue doing, in season or out of season, what God has called us to do, preach the word, okay? And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're doing as a church, the Springs Calvary Chapel. We're gathered here today in light of circumstances. Now, what circumstances, you might ask? Or I might ask you, what are the circumstances that we live in today? It is amazing to me how rapidly we have just fallen into a global hysteria over the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, 4 days ago, I could open up my cell phone and I could flip through news article after news article after news article. And just 2 days ago, man, I had to flip 18, 20, 25 articles down into my news feeds before I found something that wasn't coronavirus. And even then, I found one and it just kept on going. And that seems to be the only thing that's on people's minds. People seem to be obsessing over that. I had put out on Facebook the other day because I had been receiving questions from people, are we going to have church this Sunday? And yes, we will. As much as is in our power, we will have church this Sunday. And I pray the Lord will allow us to continue doing this. I have a statement that I wrote. I think you might have gotten in your bulletin. Let me just read this to you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. This is from Timothy. We just read it not too many weeks ago. At the Springs, the safety and health of our fellowship, both now and eternally, is of highest concern. It is for that reason that, in accordance with state and national government health officials' guidelines, as much as within our power, we plan to continue holding services as usual at the Springs and to continue proclaiming the gospel, the only cure for the global pandemic of sin. I mean, think about what's going on into the world today. People are panicking. You know, I heard a little survey about the boomers, the old people, the 60-plusers and all this. And a great deal of them are kind of just blowing this whole thing off as if it's no big deal. This isn't the first rodeo that we've been through. We've seen these things come around. But it's interesting, amongst the younger people, there's a real fear that they might die from this. Let me put you at rest, especially if you're younger people. You're highly unlikely to die from this. I'll continue on with what I was reading. Circumstances and statistics surrounding the spread of coronavirus seem to be changing daily, if not hourly. And we want to respond lovingly, rationally, respectfully, and effectively to those in need and those in authority. With these goals in mind, there are several common sense cold flu season types of precautions that we can take. And I'm encouraging us as a family in these things. If anyone is sick and they know they're sick, you should stay home, okay? If you've got a flu, if you've got a fever, if you've got something like that. If you are high risk, okay, and the list, elderly, respiratory issues, immune system issues, or living with someone who is at high risk, refrain from personal contact for the time being, right? I think the Catholic Church just came out last week and said fist bump instead of hugging and shaking hands or those kinds of things. These are just wise in light of cold and flu season, let alone the pandemic that's causing this hysteria. Wash your hands often and carry hand sanitizer. That's probably the best thing you can do. And I did something. It was an experiment this week. I know that you're supposed to wash your hand for 20 seconds, okay? And so I started washing my hands for 20 seconds, and I'm trying to think, how can I count 20 seconds? I've heard different things like say the ABCs, but I tried this one. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Not only did I cleanse my hands, I cleansed my heart. And if you really want to get in with the program, I recommend that. And I tried Psalm 23. That one took me 30 seconds if you're wanting to go a little bit deeper. These are free things you get when you come to church on Sunday. Okay, avoid touching your face. Always cover your mouth with your elbow when you cough or sneeze like this. Right? Do you know that one? Cough into your sleeve. Of course, that means don't go hugging everybody after you've been coughing all day. I have to point this out because some people don't put the dots together, okay? You should and carry extra tissues for yourself and your children and teach your children the above rules, okay? So that we're all on the same page. And you should know that our children's ministry are taking all these precautions also, and we are sanitizing the classrooms. And know that Sunday services are available on podcasts on our website, thespringscalvarychapel.org. If you find yourself sick and can't come to church, you can still keep up with the Sunday messages and those kinds of things. And know that in the event of a service cancellation, we will post it on our webpage and Facebook page. So, you don't need to call me, you know, all day long, every service. Is there going to be service? 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 Check our webpage, check the Facebook. If there's nothing on the webpage and there's nothing on the Facebook, then we will continue on with services as much as possible. Know that President Trump has declared today, Sunday, March 5th, a national day of prayer. And before we end this morning, we are going to pray for our nation. And we will encourage you, the Springs, Calvary Chapel, to put your faith in God. To stay informed as government directives develop, and be ready to share the good news of our great hope, Jesus Christ. When these things come our way, God has given us opportunity to go out and preach the gospel and not respond in fear, but in confidence. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, including the coronavirus, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? I'm afraid, again, this is Mike, and I'm not that brilliant. I'm not one of the people working for Centers for Disease Control or some kind of federal agent or anything like that. But I'm looking at the reaction that's coming out of the world, out of the media, out of world governments. And we can't just blame our leaders. I mean, it's a global pandemonium, hysteria. And I firmly believe there's going to be more damage done through the irresponsible panic that's being fomented upon us through irresponsible sources than the virus itself. Know this. Young people are almost not going to get it, okay? You might become a carrier. You're probably already a character, but you might become a character, and we need to be careful with this, okay? I don't want to just poo-poo this and slide it under the carpet. There are people in our fellowship here who are elderly, who do have respiratory conditions, who have immune system issues, and this is a real concern. But we want to keep it all in proportion, in reality. Today, March 15th, according to Centers for Disease Control, there's 162,000 cases of coronavirus, plus a little bit more than that in the world today. There have been 6,069 deaths so far globally, but 76,000 plus have recovered. Okay? You don't hear that recovery statistic reported very often, do you? Okay? Most people get over it. Okay? And then the balance that haven't been reported, they're going to get past it also. Now, as of 5 a.m. this morning, when I checked the news, there have been 5 cases confirmed in Idaho. 1 case in South Central Idaho, confirmed in Twin Falls, a resident of Blaine County. So we know that it's coming to our neighborhood. Okay? This is something that we as humans can't really stop. Okay? We talked about this last week in the disease of humanism that seems to have engulfed the planet, that we believe that humanity will become its own savior. And somehow we think we can keep these things from spreading. Now, certainly we can slow them down, and certainly it's responsible that we do so that we don't overwhelm our healthcare system. We don't want to fill up the hospitals with people. We do want to slow this down, but we shouldn't be panicking. In the USA, there are close to 3,000 cases reported in the United States today, 60 of which have led tragically to death. Not something that we would hope on anybody. That's sad. And we can be sure the numbers will increase, okay? Again, but know that the risk is small to almost everybody in the big picture. A majority over 80% plus may not even have a symptoms or might have something like a mild cold or a flu. Just to compare the coronavirus to the typical influenza that comes around every year, the flu season. As of today, March 15th, the Centers for Disease Control estimates that 15 million Americans have contracted a flu of some kind. 140,000 have been hospitalized. And so far, due to the flu, there have been more than 8,200 deaths. Okay? So, my point is not to minimize the coronavirus. My point is to emphasize that we just need to be smart. It's flu season. Wash your hands. Say the Lord's Prayer. Fist bump. Do the things that are wise at this time of year. Okay? And just kind of in general, okay, when we look at the proportions of this, we can look at last year's 2018-2019 season, which would be average for the influenza. 42 million people globally contracted some form of the flu last year. 640,000 had to be hospitalized, and there were 61,200 deaths. Okay? Compare that to the 6,000 right now. And just take a dose of reality. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Know the truth. It'll make you free. It will empower you. Of love. We want to remain compassionate to our neighbors. We want to keep the doors open, because if any place in a time of crisis, the world should come to church. The doors of the church should be open that we can receive those in need. And of a sound mind. We need to think clearly through this and not get involved in the panic. So these are just my encouragements to you. Be wise, don't be overwhelmed, and don't overwhelm the healthcare system. Be prepared, not scared. Okay, you know, take proper precautions. Hopefully, many of us do that. Hopefully we put up a supply for that rainy day, maybe 2 weeks to get through. I did go into the store this morning and I found soap. Okay, we were there yesterday. I couldn't. It's coming and going. Toilet paper. I'm going to say this in church, and I don't know how appropriate it might be, but I saw it on the internet a couple days ago. Somebody has come out with synthetic pine cones and corn cobs. When you're done using them, you throw them in the washer and use them again. It's no different than diapers, cloth diapers for babies, right? So, well, I said it in church. Now, I'll stand before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge at his coming. Anyways, I didn't want to get off on that too much. I think I may have, but I think it's important for the times that we live in. The reality is, as I said, the situation is changing daily. It's changing hourly. Many, many, many churches are not meeting today. The government has closed them down, outlawed meetings of 500 or 250 or whatever they want to set the numbers at. We must live in accord with the governing authorities. And should the local authorities, the state authorities, the national authorities decree that we can no longer meet or meet in certain sizes, we're going to have to honor that. Again, as much as it's within our power, we're going to preach the gospel. Because the biggest threat is the pandemic of sin. And we need to make sure the world is hearing that, right? And so we're going to continue doing that. But you stay posted. You be informed. Check the website. Check the Facebook. And especially if you attend some of the small group meetings throughout the weeks. There's a listing on the back of the bulletin of the phone numbers of those people who host it. And just pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, are we going to meet tonight? Right? And be clear on what's going on within the fellowship. Again, I know I feel like I'm belaboring it. This might be my whole message. The pattern has been, and I think that's why these boomers and everybody else doesn't get too riled about this, with all of these other epidemics that have swept through, the SARS, the MERS, H1N1, swine flu, all these different things, they have a tendency to abate all by themselves, not because of human effort, although I wouldn't discount the help of not spreading it. But as temperatures warm up, for some reason, the flu season and these things tend to go away. We could be 8 weeks out from that. Also, as the diseases spread, we build up immunities within our own body. And as a certain percentage of the whole population builds up these immunities, the virus has nowhere to go and it just dies out. And vaccinations are coming online and will be available shortly. So we just have to get through this season, okay? But in this season, preach the word. Be ready to give a defense for the hope that lies within you, that we know Jesus Christ, we're going to heaven, and want to take as many people as we can with us. Let's see if I can get through this small part here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, according their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Boy, are we seeing that, right? I mean, just stuff that people are doing. Maybe you've heard of, it's extremist, but there are a group of Hindus in India, and they're drinking cow urine. You know, they think cows are holy, right? That's where you get the saying, holy cow, okay? That's where it comes from. Because they worship cows, and because of their ideas of reincarnation, that might be their mother-in-law, something like that. And so they won't slaughter cows or any of those things. And because of this, they're actually consuming cow urine, thinking it's going to help them not get the coronavirus. Okay, fables. Crazy stuff. But you know, there's all kinds of that kind of stuff out there in the world today. Evolution, you know, and how did we come to be in the place we are? The Big Bang, where did the cosmos come from? All these different kinds of crazy things that are going around the world that, you know, make zero sense. Abortion, and that little blob of flesh is not a real human being. Life begins at conception. And people are buying into these fables. They pile up for themselves teachers who scratch their itchy ears, that make them feel better, that they look at all kinds of crazy stuff. There was a guy back in the beginning part of last century. His name was William Randolph Hearst. Okay, and he had a newspaper in San Francisco, and he found that if he put spectacular, sensational headlines on the newspaper and put a yellow, it was like highlighter, behind the headline, it would sell lots of papers. And this became known as yellow journalism. And the idea was to put all kinds of outlandish things out there. They don't have to hold truth, but they sell papers. And today, people are buying all kinds of crazy stuff. It's tabloid journalism. You have to really hunt for the truth nowadays. Last week, after my message last week, quite a few people came up to me, and they were so shocked that I was in the know. And then they went on to tell me about all these different behind-the-scenes issues that are going on in the government, different kinds of ideas about things that we can't know. And they wondered how I knew it. And the interesting thing was, most of what they had told me, I didn't know. But what I was teaching them was what the Word of God says. And yes, I am in the know because I know what God says. He says, in perilous times, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money and all these crazy things. And we can see the signs of the time. And the point is to preach the word, teach the word, live the word of God, and you will be inoculated. You will be vaccinated from all this hysteria, from all this panic, from all this misinformation. You'll be able to rightly divide the word of truth. You'll be able to discern the issues that are concerning us today, and you will be able to be a minister of life and love to the world. But you, verse 5, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Complete it. What you set out to do, what you have been ordained to do, what you have been called to do, do it to the end. Do it faithfully. Remember, this is coming from a man on death row. He knew, and we're going to read next week, that shortly he's going to go to the chopping block. And he encouraged us to keep doing it also. I can't help but say it from the Philippines, living there. We would say this, I don't know how many times a day. Padayon. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't squat. Never quit. Keep going. Finish the race. And that's what Paul wants Timothy to do. Being watchful. Not with our head in the sand. We don't gather here on Sunday mornings because we don't get it, that we don't know that there's threats in society, that the coronavirus is dangerous. We know that. We'll practice good hygiene, possibly even if necessary, social distancing. I hate that. I hope they come up with a new way of describing it. You know, but we are aware of those things, but we're also aware that this world needs more than anything Jesus Christ. So we're going to be aware. We're going to keep our heads up. We're going to be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. It's sad to think how many people have gone into ministry thinking that life was just going to be one big spiritual bubble. And everything was going to be holy, you know. One of the biggest disappointments for people who do come on staff and work at a church, and they get here and they find out that the pastor's, like, got issues. He's supposed to be all, he looks so holy on Sunday morning or whatever, right? And I don't know, but we're just people and we're going to have issues. We're going to have afflictions just like the next person. Becoming a child of God is not a guarantee that you're not going to get through this life unscarred. Jesus would say, they treated me that way, they're going to treat you that way. In this world, you will have tribulation. There's going to be trials. You're going to have to endure affliction. But we win. Be of good cheer. Okay? We go to heaven just like Jesus endured that, went to the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. We're following right along behind him. So we can take courage in that. Be watchful, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. It's work. It's something that you need to put your shoulder to. It's something that you need to make a plan. You need to prepare. You need to execute. And you need to keep at it until you get it done. Evangelize. That's that word evangelion, which is where we get the word gospel. We're to go preach the word. Share Jesus Christ with the world. And you have to work at it. Sometimes you have to come up with strategies. I know I was praying with Dallas recently, praying for how are we going to reach our fathers. That's a tough one. Maybe you've got family members that haven't really confessed Jesus Christ. You got to work a plan. You got to get purposeful. You have to engage. And maybe you've been doing it for 40 years. But I don't. Keep going. Keep going. Work your plan, okay? But do the work of an evangelist, right? There's a whole world of people that are standing on the brink of eternity right now. And the more so as we see this virus or the flu season or any of these things, we need to be getting their attention and sharing with them that you can go to heaven. You can be forgiven of your sins. You've done nothing that God can't forgive. All you need is to just receive him and be pardoned of your sins and be freed of the guilt and the shame and live a life filled with joy and happiness. And so we need to be effective in the watching and the enduring and the working as an evangelist. We need to fulfill our ministry. In doing that, today is a national day of prayer. Our president has declared that our nation should hit the floor. We should be on our knees. We should be in an attitude of prayer, praying for our nation. And so I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer before we dismiss. I received something from Franklin Graham, the Franklin Graham Association. And he was encouraging us to pray. And there was a couple points that he had brought out, that we need to be in prayer for those who are sick and their families. We need to be in prayer for those who are living in fear and anxiety. Pray for them. Forgive us, Lord, if we've mocked them or ridiculed them. Pray for them. And for the professionals who are providing medical care, for those who are working on treatments and a vaccine, and for the leaders of our communities, of our state, of our nation, even globally, that they would act with wisdom and courage. So I'd ask you just to bow your hearts with me now, and let's pray for our nation. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the victorious and powerful, effective name of Jesus Christ. And according to Jesus Christ, we pray, your will be done. We pray, Lord Jesus, that as we humble ourselves and confess our sins, knowing that we're not a perfect nation, we're not a perfect people, that every one of us, every single one of us has fallen short of your glory. But God, we intercede on behalf of our nation. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, for this virus, this epidemic that's spreading around the world. We don't want to see anyone suffer. We pray for those who are sick. And not just this. Help us not to overlook those who are sick from every other cause, whether it's a cold or flu or disease. Or help us to be compassionate, Lord, that you've given us a spirit of love. I pray that we'd start right here in this house, in this family, and that the words of our lips would be words of prayer and thanksgiving and love and compassion for those who are sick, Lord, those who are anxious. Help us to minister peace, that peace that passes understanding. Lord knows, you do, Lord, that we seem to meet people like that all day long, and maybe even in this house. Help us, Lord, to be people of peace. We know peace, and we live in that. Help us to share that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would pray for those who are taking care of us, who are watching out for us, those frontline people, healthcare workers, first responders, those people that go into the breach on our behalf, the military scattered around the world. But especially those right now, Lord, we pray for those in hospitals and medical centers, urgent cares, and those people who are coming in contact, that you would help them, Lord, to be protected and be safe. They can go home to their families safe and not bring any disease with them, Lord. You would help those who are developing vaccines and all the institutions that are rallying together, Lord. We pray that you would just help them, Lord, be effective in helping us combat this. And we pray, Lord, for our leaders. We thank you for our president. We thank you for his heart to declare a day of prayer, the wisdom that it takes to realize that you, Lord Jesus, are the one who is our Savior. And man is not going to be able to save himself from this, but Lord Jesus, we know you can. Thank you for President Trump, and I pray, Lord, you would continue to just pour your anointing on him in light of the media, in light of the enemies that are trying to take advantage of this situation to their own advantage, disgracefully, Lord, pray that they would be thwarted. And that, Lord, as a nation, we could come together under your banner, under your name. And for Vice President Pence, Lord, as he heads us up, we thank you for such godly people in our state capitol who gather for prayer regularly. Help us to be as faithful as they are in prayer for our nation, we pray. Lord Jesus, we pray this with thanksgiving. That, Lord Jesus, you have met us here in this place. That you've given us a hope and a future. That regardless of the circumstances, we can pray, your will be done, and rest in it. I pray now as we go towards the Agape Feast, Lord, that we would receive, Lord, the meal, the fellowship as gifts from you. That you would nourish us in body and soul. And that, Lord, you would protect us, we pray, from any of the effects of these diseases. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about the Springs Calvary Chapel, please visit our website at www.thespringscalvarychapel.org. Join us in person at the Springs in Habern, Idaho, or here on the podcast as we worship together in spirit and in truth.